Welcome to Gold Star Classroom, the podcast where our panelists go back to school. We'll grade them on their answers to a variety of general knowledge and trivia questions. They don't know what we're going to ask, and we don't know what they're going to say. The student with the highest grade at the end of the class will win the coveted classroom prize, the Golden Banana. I'm your host and headmaster, Professor Jerry Jaffe. All right, let's meet today's students. On my far left is writer and graduate student from Northeast Ohio, Nick Grimzik.
How you doing?
Hey, Nick. And on my left is associate professor of political science at Lake Erie College, Dr. Tom Davis.
Hello. I'm happy to be here.
Well, thanks for being here, Tom. On my far right is dietary aide living in Mentor, Ohio, Yuki Sonobe.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi. And finally, our last student sitting on my right, Cleveland-based comedian, Dr. Andy Meredith.
Kill Whitey.
Hey, Andy. Hey. Now, minus 5 points right there. We're going to be covering a series of general knowledge and trivia questions, and you will be receiving a grade for your answers. And at the end of the show, the student with the highest grade is going to win the classroom prize, the coveted Golden Banana.
Yay.
Are you ready, Dr. Meredith?
I'm ready.
Are you sure?
I think so.
We should get started in a jiffy.
All right.
You think so?
Yes.
Jiffy's an odd word. What do you think the word jiffy means?
It's an actual measurement of time that's a fraction of a second.
You are going
that,
in...
Is that like in a book or something? Is that like a real thing?
I spend too much time on Reddit every day.
Okay. Oh, Christ. All right.
Any other thoughts about what jiffy means?
Either peanut butter?
Yeah. It certainly has something to do with peanut butter.
Yes, peanut butter and oil.
Yes.
Oil, Jiffy Lube.
Jiffy Lube,
yeah,
that's
Jiffy.
A thing.
Combination of oil, peanut butter.
Ooh.
And fractions of seconds.
There we go.
Sound familiar, Andy?
Yes.
The word Jiffy first appears in the English language in the 1780s, and at that time, it has the kind of meaning, probably, that we use in everyday speech, just something that's quick or brief. But since then, it has been used as technical jargon.
As an actual measurement.
As an actual measurement. As it turns out, it's annoyingly complicated, because depending on the field, it has a different measurement. But the most common...
That's what science is for.
That is what science complicating complicating reality rather than clarifying it. Especially math is supposed to be pure. Instead, it's all made up as they go along. Mm-hmm. It is commonly described as 1/100th of a second.
You even measure 1/100th of a second. What can you do significantly in 1/100th of a second?
It's funny you would ask that, because that definition comes from the field of electronics.
Oh,
and it has to do with the measurement of currents.
Yeah. All right.
And you can win races.
Okay, yeah.
Michael Phelps won. By
a jiffy.
Yeah.
A jiffy, yes.
But this doesn't explain the peanut butter.
Yeah, I saw.
Because moms who don't care make PB&J for their kids all the time.
In a fraction of
a second. I don't have time to prepare
to make proper
food
yes.
for my kids, PB&J.
It's a jiffy lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Any lunch you can make in the same time it takes to change the oil in your car.
I like to give my kids ramen.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want them to know I don't care. Not
Jiffy ramen?
Yeah.
It's like a satay flavored ramen noodle?
Exactly.
Yeah, satay. Yeah.
I microwave it. That's how lazy I am.
Do you put the egg in it?
No.
No? That's good.
Never even heard of that. What?
No, yeah. You want a little extra protein in there? And
then
if you're doing it in the microwave, the egg will cook up in there, too.
Yeah.
Did any of you see the story out of, I think it was England, about the girl who, I don't know if she was in her late teens, and... had for entire life only ate ramen noodles.
Oh
no,
my God.
She made, and that's right. She made it to her late teens.
That's so cute.
That's
how many more years she'll make
living.
She made it that far.
If you call that living,
I think they said she was examined by some medical people, and I think they said she had the body of a, I don't know, a 70-year-old or 80-year-old.
Oh my God!
Probably not surprising.
Eating styrofoam your entire life.
That's right.
Wow.
Well, I mean, she's from the UK, though. Who cares about those people?
I suppose so.
I think for bringing up an interesting story, you should get a bonus 10 points.
Well, thank you.
So that's 10 points for Tom.
Oh.
You don't appear to be keeping score in a written way.
Oh, I'm using the computer that I was born with to keep track of the score.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're going to mail
it's
us
the gray book. It's the gray book is all up here, my friend. On the topic of anime, Japanese film, manga, television series.
Hentai.
Including that as well. One of the features that the art form is known for is unusually large and cute eyes.
Yeah.
Nick, do you know where that comes
like
from?
Like Tom.
Similar to Tom's eyes. Yeah.
No, I appreciate it.
It comes
from...
The emphasis
on cute, of course. Right?
Yeah. Like the guy who invented Astro Boy, he was like inspired by Walt Disney's cartoons, right? Mm-hmm. Like wasn't Donald Duck like his huge inspiration for...
Do you know that person's name? You get a gold star if you can name the guy.
Nope.
Any ideas?
Nope.
Osamu Tezuka.
Oh, yeah, dang it.
Created Astro Boy.
Yeah, we don't have any, call... You know, call somebody?
Call somebody? No.
Yeah, I should have called
you cannot my daughter. You cannot phone a friend on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, phone a friend. Right.
That we call, in class, we call that cheating.
Oh, okay. Can I cheat?
Unless you'd like an F.
And but also, you know, Japanese people doesn't have a big eye.
So yes, like, so it's on. It seems like unusual.
A,
you know, like
yeah. So we want to have, like, dang, big eyes.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, it's good emotional shorthand, you know, giving someone gigantic eyes, yeah, you know, in yes. a cartoon like, format. Mm-hmm. That's...
He cited the list I found, Betty Boop.
Really? As an influence?
As an influence.
Betty Boop creeps me out.
And indeed. Yeah. Betty Boop was originally a dog, by the way. If you see what? The oldest Betty Boop cartoons, yeah. she has dog ears.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And then as they kept making them, they sort of turned her into a human.
Okay. For bonus points from Dr. Annie Meredith, who's the actress that Betty Boop is based off of.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not sure. Is it based off a real actress?
It actually is, but I forget her name right now. So.
Okay, leave us hanging.
Yeah. Minus five.
Minus
you were hoping to.
Minus five for bringing it up in the first place. But yes, Tezuka also said that he thought that large eyes were an easy way to show emotional content quickly and cheaply.
Yeah. That's why when you want to have like a grouchy character in a comic strip, you don't give him eyes. You just give him like a solid black line.
And they, the Japanese... animation goes back to the early days of filmmaking. Even the 1910s, there were Japanese animators.
Oh, wow.
But that what we think of as anime comes from Tezuka and others, with Astro Boy being sort of the famous early example.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a lot of money for filmmaking. So they took American animation techniques and cheapified everything.
Okay.
So eyes are a cheap way of illustrating the story.
And they've been sticking with that for over 100 years.
Those are the only things that move in anime.
Well, like, that's another thing they did in anime to save money was they found it was cheaper to make the background colorful or artistic and then keep the actual movements minimal and simple. And so instead of having like Fred Flintstone run across like that.
Instead, Goku is just in one solid place and they just show lines behind him to indicate that he's flying.
Yes. Is it true that they slowed down the animation for like broadcast of anime cartoons in America? It always seems like in Dragon Ball Z the guy's jumping for like 10 minutes. That's why there's 1,000 episodes of it, you know?
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that there's a famous episode, I want to say, of Pokemon that was edited so quickly it was causing seizures.
Yeah,
I was thinking you said slow it down.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
We should speed that back up. We have too many. There's too many.
Yeah,
although that is why when you watch old-timey films, the people move around like penguins quickly because they were also filmed at a different speed. And when you show them on modern equipment, it's
I just thought
Spielberg.
They were faster back then. Yeah, I just thought people walked faster.
Yes. Well, that was the less
food.
Shit
to do.
Yes. They didn't have these computers
and
cars.
Yeah,
exactly.
Getting out of the Depression, they had a country to save.
Yes.
Greatest generation.
May I ask a question about U.S. history?
Okay.
So who is ready for a question about U.S. history?
I am.
Who was the tallest president?
Abraham Lincoln.
That is correct, although there are two presidents of that height. Wow. So there's someone that's tied with him. As
George Washington?
No. Andrew Jackson?
No. It's listing president's time until someone randomly guesses.
Well, can you narrow it? Is it a more modern
president? It is a more modern president.
Ah.
Billy?
I will. Uncle Billy? No, I'll say this. The way that I saw it defined in one source was Abraham Lincoln was the tallest president elected, and this other person was the tallest man to become president
George
by
w.
another
Bush.
Means. I don't think George W. Bush is a very small man. Very small.
LBJ.
It's got to be Gerald Ford.
LBJ. Yeah.
LBJ.
Really? Lyndon B. Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
They are both.
He used to show his penis randomly to people.
6 foot four, 193 centimeters.
For all our Canadian fans.
Yes.
or everyone else around the world.
Well, they're not going to listen.
So, conversely.
Which was the president that tried to integrate, like they had this big campaign to introduce the metric system to American school kids?
Jimmy Carter.
Was it him? Okay.
Yes.
He would.
I was a to do that. Child at that time. I remember.
I love how America was just like, nah, we're not doing it.
Nah.
You guys what do you mean?
You guys are crazy. I have no ideas. I like metric system.
No, yeah, everyone
simple.
Does. It makes sense.
It's simple.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's very reasonable. We're not going
here.
To learn it.
Yeah.
I did not agree to keep using the standard system.
if I had been
Jimmy Carter.
You wouldn't have given up.
No.
Well, it's because he didn't have a second term.
We can blame it on the English again.
Yes. That is another problem of theirs. Who is the shortest president?
Napoleon.
No. Though he probably wanted to be.
What was it? Who was the moron who gave like a 6-hour speech in the rain and died like the next day?
That would be William Henry Harrison.
Thank you. Yeah. Was it him?
No.
Okay.
Although Benjamin Harrison was the second shortest.
Can you give us...
Woodrow Wilson?
This is one of the classics, like Founding Fathers.
FDR? Who was in the wheelchair?
Because
he was sitting.
John Quincy.
The guy in the wheelchair. He was sitting.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
That's what I said,
sir.
FDR, but I wasn't sure. So I'm like, the guy in the wheelchair, FDR.
James Madison.
Oh. Madison.
5'4".
Oh. Poorer than me.
In this, especially our contemporary media age, there's a kind of urban legend that taller candidates win.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say better looking candidates win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
know.
I mean, tall might be part of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a statistic here that says there have been 28 presidential elections between 1900 and 2011. How many of those do you think the taller person won?
3.
No, but it's a good guess.
I'd say 50%.
It's not quite 50%.
You're an athlete.
50%
safe way out.
Would definitely put to bed the guess that it was the urban legend. Yes. No, 18 of the winning candidates have been taller than their opponents.
Wow.
8 have been shorter, and 2 have been approximately the same height.
Mm.
But on average, the winner was only 1 inch taller than the loser.
Mm.
So, in some...
Inches make victory.
Yes.
In so many ways.
Yes.
Oh, my.
The inches lying all over this campaign. You just have to fight for them. From the world of natural history, here's everyone's favorite paradoxical question. What color are zebras?
They're white.
We have a vote for white. We have another vote for white.
I would say they're no color.
How? No color? That's interesting.
I mean, polar bears are no color as well. Correct.
I do not have information about polar bears in front of
me.
It's
the way the light is reflected. They are actually no color.
Their fur or their skin?
Well, I would assume when you're talking about zebras.
Yes.
How do we know?
I don't
no
even
color?
Know what zebras have.
Well, zebras.
I mean, are they covered with hair?
Zebras are mammals.
Having
they
never
are.
Touched one.
They're much like. They're
it's like a
like
very
horses.
Fancy
they're
horse.
They're more like a donkey. Mm. They're more like a donkey. Mm.
They are vaguely in the same family, although they're branched off on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually 3 different the types of surviving zebras, but all 3 of those zebras are not closely related. They're like independently developed striped equines from different continents.
But they're all called zebras.
But they are all collectively called zebras.
And if you lined like 3 of them up in a zoo, like, is a 5-year-old going to be able to tell the difference?
Yes.
Is he going to care?
Well, the kids are going to go nuts.
Oh, okay.
One of the most, with polar bears, possibly 2 of the most favorite animals of children.
Really?
In zoos.
What color is zebra stripe gum?
Okay. But we haven't gotten any closer to solving the mystery of what color are zebras. I have 2 guesses for white.
That
means one answer
wrong.
Of no color. Nick, any thoughts on the matter?
It's like, who cares? I mean,
and then we have a who cares. Nick,
that's like, probably the
if
best
you
answer.
Want to succeed in this class, you will need a better attitude than that one.
It's like they're zebra striped. Why? How much more complicated does it need to be?
Yeah, they got zebra
black
colored.
Stripes over yeah. white.
The great naturalist Stephen Jay Gould wrote one of his many essays on natural history. He wrote several essays on zebras. He said, "There's another way of phrasing this question. Jump back. Put on your seatbelts. Is the striping a result from the inhibition of melanin or the deposition of melanin? If it's an inhibition,
deposition.
If it's an inhibition, then zebras are black animals. If a deposition, then zebras are white animals.
It's the deposition because they started off as animals that weren't in." Like hot desert area.
Whether or not
did they burn lying under a very specifically patterned tree at all times?
Is there a zebra-shaped grill somewhere where people are baking these? It is thought that striping was more common on ancestral horses. So although modern horses rarely, though not never, rarely have striping, it is thought that the ancestors of horses, or the natural history of equines, had cases of striping, which is also borne out, and this is getting too esoteric for my taste, but I don't want to disappoint the class, in the embryology of zebras, because they can study when the stripes appear on the embryos and what cells they're coming from and things like that.
That is pretty cool. Mm. I don't understand embryology, but it's still that's interesting. Like they can determine those things.
It does sound like you know what you're talking
about. Yeah. Yeah. Just don't try this at home. That's why I'm the teacher. You know what melanin is?
Yeah.
What?
It's the chemical that gives you coloration of your skin.
All right, you get a gold star. Gold star for Dr. Andy Meredith.
I'm still in the negatives, though.
You need to work on
your
grade.
That's different things. There was like points, and then there's stars. We don't know how the stars fit into the grading system.
Right. The gold star is for an exceptional answer in the moment.
Okay.
Not actual points.
But not actual points, per se. Unless you have the most gold stars at the end, then that could supersede the points by virtue of your outstanding series of answers.
All right.
There's a naturalist called J.B. Bard, who in 1977 wrote an essay in which he claims to have observed zebras whose stripes were abnormal. So for some reason in their development or defects or mutations, they did not have stripes as we normally think of it. Said blotches were white splotches on a black background. Oh. Thus, zebras are black animals with white stripes.
Damn.
Damn.
I don't care what science says. I'm right.
Yeah. Yeah, I checked that.
My Bible tells me what color zebras are.
Yes.
Have they ever shaved one?
Zebras also have dark-colored skin under their fur.
Okay.
Damn it.
Our answer.
I will say... Yuki says she looked this up ahead of time on her own.
But I saw
did you get the answer?
Right? Yeah. But I saw the
you don't cheat
picture.
Very well, do you?
Yeah, the whole purpose of cheating is to actually get the answer right.
But I saw the picture of the zebra and their belly is white.
Yes, that is one of the things people sometimes point at is that the belly itself
white.
Is white.
Yeah, it's totally white. So and like a black stripe. Yeah.
Yes, but no. Mm-hmm. That has to do with the deposition of the melanin. Where it develops and where it accumulates in the fur.
Can I ask you what course this is?
This is the Gold Star Classroom.
General education. Right.
General education. Okay. Right. General requirement for graduation of all students.
All right.
I'm going to tell you two famous people from history, and they have something a little bit unusual in common. You may know this if you know your... You know, see if anyone knows this. Machine Gun Kelly has something in common with Ingrid Bergman, the actress. Any thoughts as to what that might be?
Six toes on one foot.
No, but thank you for guessing. Any other thoughts or guesses?
Both wildly overrated in their field.
Debatable, but worth bringing up.
Okay.
If I'll give you a clue, I'm going to tell you a third person, a famous person who has something in common with both of them, who is not overrated in their field.
Okay.
That's William Shakespeare.
William Shakespeare. All dead.
They are all dead. And although you can't get full credit for that, your observation is in the direction of what all three of them have in common.
They all died the same way?
They did not all die the same way, although they do have something in common with another famous
person. Wait, when did Machine Gun Kelly die?
When did Machine Gun Kelly die?
Yeah, he is not still alive.
Yes.
When did that happen?
That's old news.
Very, very old news.
Yes.
70s, I think.
I don't have that detail in front of me, though I do have some of the birthdays in front of me. Also, Raphael the artist has something in common with all three.
They all have.
I think I'm operating under the wrong definition of Machine Gun Kelly. I know the rapper who grew up in Cleveland.
We are talking about the gangster.
We're talking about the old-timey gangster.
I have no idea who that is then.
Okay.
That would be.
But that would explain why you thought he was overrated.
Yeah.
Now it makes a lot more sense.
Okay.
This is the
original. His first two albums were okay.
The original gangster.
The original. Okay. This is an actual gangster who killed people with machine guns.
Okay. OG Machine Kelly.
Yes.
They were all illiterate.
His first name is George Machine Gun Kelly.
They were all named George.
No, but I'll add to the list, George Washington Carver also has something in common with all the people already listed.
They all discovered peanuts.
They did not all discover peanuts.
Born under the same zodiac sign?
They were not born under the same zodiac sign as far as I know. But there is something about their deaths that all five of those people have in common. They all died on their birthdays.
Oh.
Very interesting.
It's like Shakespeare.
Shakespeare was one of the names I just mentioned.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Miss Sonabe, you need to pay attention to the teacher when he's talking.
Sorry, I'm
I
want to
die on my birthday. Not this coming one, but a birthday.
Because Raphael and Shakespeare are from further back in history, there's a little bit of conjecture. We're not 100% certain of their birth dates or death dates. But it is...
there's just some guy who came around with a book. And it's like, did you have a baby today?
Well, in having a baby...
I saw you walking around.
Shakespeare's birthday would have been registered at the local church a couple days after... his birth, so you have to say, "Oh,
right,
this
the church
is when it
would
was
be
registered.
A thing that's like you know, 200 feet above, like underground by now." So, like, how good are their records? Like,
and you also know that
they're written on something that's like not even exactly paper,
right?
Well, in church records, though, like if you had a baby 2 days ago, wouldn't you just go up and say, "Hey, I had my baby 2 days ago," and then wouldn't they just write down that day?
No, because it's like a baptismal record. What they do is
baptismal
of the
record.
Baptism.
You are aware, of course, of the changes in calendars. So did you take that into consideration?
I did not take that into consideration, although if you'd like to explain to the class the changes in calendars.
Well, I'm not sure I can explain it, but there was a change from the the Julian to the Gregorian calendar.
Well,
we lost like a week.
And also, it used to be that the first day of spring was New Year. So it also used to be how you counted years.
So things
changed.
Used to make sense.
Right.
No, because you would still have the same Gregorian calendar year, but the new year would change in the middle of that calendar year.
Oh.
So it actually
makes less sense.
Correct. And that was corrected in the 1700s.
1789.
It is, according to common legend, suggested that Shakespeare died celebrating his birthday.
That's what I'm talking about. That's how you go out.
Over consumption
and
celebration. Although, again, such records are not really complete.
Speedballing.
So. Now, did Machine Gun Kelly die of natural causes? Or was he killed? Because that would differentiate him from probably the others.
He is reported to have died of a heart attack at the age of 59.
Whorehouse heart attack.
Yes. That's the best kind of heart attack.
Exactly. Yes.
You got to be choosing an activity to go out doing.
Legendary!
That's like up in the top three, at least.
On the topic of humorous deaths, you've all seen...
What's more funny than dying?
Correct. Now you're in the right frame of mind, Mr. Grimzik, for this next question. You've all seen in Roadrunner, Bugs Bunny cartoons, pianos falling on an X to crush a cartoon character. Mm-hmm. But does this actually happen?
Yeah.
Well, no, because most of the time, like, they would see the X, and then they would move slightly to the right of it, defying our expectation that the piano would hit him anyway.
Right. A historian has done a survey of about 100 years of American obituaries nationwide to try to identify how often in the past century or so someone has been killed by a piano falling on them.
Wow.
So I have an exact statistic. What would be your guess?
This happened 23 times.
Do you have a guess, Yuki?
I have no ideas.
No guess?
No.
Nothing?
Over 100 years in the United States.
Yes, this is going back to the late 1800s to the late 1900s.
Wow.
Let's say 137 times.
137
times? Before then, when they had good elevators, that had to have happened at least 3 or 4 times a year.
is it furniture movers hauling like that? Sure. So 3 or 4 times a year. So you're up to 300 or 400. Is that your guess?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the person whose guess was the closest, Dr. Andy Meredith. Oh. 26 piano deaths throughout the entire U.S. Wow-y. Over more than 100 years.
Wow.
However, actual furniture moving cartoon like hauling pianos up and they fall on someone, there's only found one recorded death.
Really?
By falling piano. Mm-hmm. The other piano falling deaths are more domestic things like a piano falling over on a child or falling off the back of a truck.
Okay.
The classical hoisted up and dropping down on somebody. There was only one found, anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, did Tex Avery see that happen? Run to his office.
By the craziest coincidence, it was right outside Tex Avery's office.
I thought that's how Tex Avery died. He's the one guy.
We probably want to stress that this would be recorded, because I'm sure there were many, many others who died in this way.
How do you hide dropping a piano on somebody, though? You have a piano.
Been south of the Mason-Dixon line?
A lot of things happen when they're unreported.
They don't have music there, though, so the piano thing doesn't work.
No one's ever died from dropping a fiddle on their foot during a drunken hoedown?
No.
Jack Daniels died from kicking a safe.
Speaking of safes,
How
many times do you think over that same survey someone died from a safe being dropped on their head?
You have those numbers too.
I do.
Really?
I'm going to go with 3.
I would say it's not very many.
3 plus not very many.
So you
is still a small number.
Yeah.
What do you think?
10.
Yuki? We going 10?
10.
Yeah, it's going to be like a single digit number.
It's going to be nowhere.
Her or me?
Her.
Because these are researched facts, my friends. 7 cases of people being crushed by falling safes. But only 3 of which were the pure hoisted.
Oh, 3. Yeah. Right on the nose.
Oh.
Gold star, Mr. Meredith.
Aww. I still don't get points.
I was going to say, that's got to be worth some points. Yeah. I think.
A-plus for Andy Meredith.
Aww.
Say what I said in high school. Suck it, I got a better grade than you. I was not well liked.
No.
Not that it demonstrates any knowledge.
Demonstrates my test-taking ability.
That's right. Yeah. That's all that matters.
For your final grade.
I'm of a younger generation. We weren't taught to think and stuff like that. We were taught to take tests.
That's right.
Yes, absolutely. And one day you too will be a doctor, like Dr. Andy Meredith.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right.
We can only aspire to such great.
That's what's sad, is that there are a lot of people that aren't as good as me. Isn't that horrifying? Save the world. Like, oh, you guys aren't even trying.
It's quite a burden you bear, isn't it?
It is. Knowing being in the middle. It's hard.
All right. Well, this brings us to the part of the class where we add up all the points, calculate all the grades, and pass out the coveted Golden Banana Prize. And today's Golden Banana Prize... before we give out today's Golden Banana Prize, Dr. Andy Meredith, I'd like to give everyone a chance to say any final thoughts or remarks. Let's go around the table. Nick? Could you be a little more specific?
Maybe. I mean...
in English, please.
I'm working on it. Give
use your words to express yourself. Tom?
I would just like to say that I raised the issue of the polar bear.
Yes.
And we never came back to it. So at some point in the future, maybe that we can discuss that. Because I think it is important.
What color is a polar bear? That will be on the next homework assignment.
It's because their fur is like translucent tubes, right?
Well, I think we need to have more time to discuss it.
Yuki?
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Okay. Thank you for joining
thank
in.
Thank you. I failed.
We're not saying you got the lowest grade.
Yeah, I know.
Nick's grade wasn't that hot either.
No, not at all.
No. He did get bonus points for knowing the name Tex Avery, though.
There you go.
That's got to be worth something.
I know a lot about cartoons.
But today's class...
I don't get final thoughts.
All of Dr. Meredith's thoughts are his final thoughts.
I just want to say, care about each other.
People care about each other.
Care about one another.
Make a difference.
No, don't do that. That requires action.
Like whatever you do.
Just care. It's
things
like
are
praying,
fine the way
know?
They
like,
are.
Just think about it.
Yeah, yeah, just think about it.
Stay at home and vaguely care from yeah. the couch yeah. or near the vicinity
exactly.
of your computer.
Yeah. And maybe it'll snowball into actually mm-hmm. doing something.
Do we have to care about anyone in particular or just
just people
in general?
Man. Not Africa. Because okay. clearly nobody does.
Well, you could be the first. Start a trend.
Well, lots of people care about Africa. A lot of stuff was done in Africa for the benefit of white people.
Yeah.
Like,
thank you, my white ancestors.
Yeah. None of my ancestors did anything. Yeah, yeah.
The genetic makeup of Africa is also a very interesting question that will undoubtedly appear in a future class, but not today's.
Stay tuned.
Yes, stay tuned.
Yes, stay tuned.
For next episode. All right.
So the winner of today's classroom prize, the golden banana, is Dr. Andy Meredith.
Yay! Yay! Thank you. Thank you. Well, put my degree to use.
It all pays off.
It does.
Yay.
And thank you to all the students for showing up today and joining in on the class.
Oh, yeah.
Gold Star Classroom is written and produced by Jerry Jaffe. Our producer and engineer is Stephen Gutierrez. Original music composed and produced by Jeff Gettert. Mr. Gettert is also our assistant producer. All commentary and opinions expressed by guests of Gold Star Classroom are meant for entertainment purposes only. For Gold Star Classroom, I'm Jerry Jaffe.